Good morning. It is Thursday, June 11th, and you're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity. Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on Social Security. Now, thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war.
Thank you, Ann Feeney. It is time we started calling the shots. This is the Brain Labor Report. This is our daily broadcast of labor news where we talk about the many struggles of the working people, reporting on the stories and perspectives of the working class that is ignored by mainstream media. My name is Jason Houken. We're also joined today by the real Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Wes Brain is out of the station today. He's got a economic development meeting today, so we're going to be filling in his shoes. And usually I'm doing the engineering, and today I'm doing the hosting. So, and of course, I mentioned Joe's here with me to help with this.
I'm not much help at all because Jason is still doing the engineering while he's doing the hosting.
Wonderful. Well, we're a half-an-hour show out of KSKQ, LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon, and we're going to be bringing you a wonderful interview and discussion about the situation regarding our Walmart Supercenter here. We've recently had a court case in which our Oregon Land Use Board of Appeal ruled that the city of Medford, Oregon, needs to complete a traffic study before allowing a new Medford Supercenter into the city. And we're going to be talking with one of the members of the Medford Citizens for Responsible Development that brought this lawsuit with the Luba. We'll be talking with Ivan Holland. He'll be joining us in a few minutes. We got the Workers Independent News coming up, and did we want to talk about Walmart a little bit?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Yeah,
I truly despise Walmart. I must say that's just my opinion. And I came to this opinion way back in the 80s when Walmart first started going national. And we were in a bit of a recession back then. And there was a town somewhere in the Midwest. I don't remember the details of it. It might have been Nebraska or Kansas. It was a one factory town. And it was a textile factory that went out of business. They went bankrupt, and the factory shut down. All the workers were out of jobs, and the town really had no place else to go. Walmart came in, and they bought that factory, and they got a very sweet deal on their taxes from the city and county, and they put everybody back to work, and they ran a huge television commercial ad campaign showing these happy Americans.
Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, made in America, and we're putting America back to work, and all this stuff, and that campaign ran for a few months, and when it was over, Walmart closed the factory.
Wow.
And put everybody out of work again.
Ouch.
Yeah. That whole thing was just that whole budget, that whole buying the factory and hiring these people was just part of their ad budget.
Wow. That's pretty cold-hearted.
Well, especially since the people who were hired back thought they had real jobs again, you know, and
right.
They, you know, some of them bought a new car and, you know, made plans for the future, not realizing that their future was only going to be a few months long.
Well, that's a hard story.
Yeah. They're not our friends.
Yeah.
Sadly.
We've got the 3 minutes, Workers Independent News. It's a 3-minute piece out of Madison, Wisconsin. Let's play that right now. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about Walmart.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Workers at a plant that makes Army backpacks and vests turned out in force on Tuesday to protest plans by parent company Alliant Tech Systems to close the New Bedford, Massachusetts plant, essentially cutting 350 jobs. The company will be moving many of those jobs to Puerto Rico. The protest was organized by Workers United SEIU, a union that has been seeking to organize the workers. Congressional representatives in the region sent a joint letter to the Army seeking to make renewal of any contract contingent on preservation of work at the plant. The letter was signed by Representative Barney Frank and Senators Edward Kennedy and John Kerry. Meanwhile, the New Bedford City Council passed a resolution on Monday that promises to help find a buyer for the plant if Alliant does close the location and move the jobs. Advocates of a bill that would help bullied students in New York schools are concerned that the shift in power of the state legislature could put the act in jeopardy. Lee Cutler is with the New York United Teachers and says the legislation is necessary in this new age of bullying.
Maybe in the 50s and 60s and 70s you used to get prank phone calls, but now with everybody on the internet and with cell phones and things like that, the harassment can continue, you know, 24 hours a day.
A new coalition of business leaders is seeking to show their support for the Employee Free Choice Act. The organization is called the Business Leaders for a Fair Economy and is made up of more than 1,000 business leaders of both large and small companies. The chair of the organization is Roger Smith, who is also president and CEO of American Income Life Insurance. In a statement on the organization's website, faireconominow.org, Smith says, "In these tough economic times, we need solutions that protect workers and support long-term growth and sustainability for American businesses." One of the biggest concerns for Employee Free Choice Act supporters regarding Senator Arlen Specter's defection to the Democratic side of the aisle is his proclaimed unwillingness to support the legislation. However, in a speech given by the senator this weekend, he said he is working with labor leaders to find middle ground he can support. And he said having labor support is important for his political career.
I understand your job's on the line, and I understand that my job's on the line. I understand that. And I believe that you'll be satisfied with my vote on this issue. And if you're not, I recognize your right in a free society to cast your vote as you choose.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And thanks for listening to the Brain Labor Report. On the Brain Labor Report, that's the Workers' Independent News. We're going to play a song, and we're going to get Ivan in on this conversation with Joe and I here. This is Lippmann's I Hate Walmart. Let's listen to that right now.
I've always hated Blockbuster.
Target, McDonald's,
Gap,
Pepsi,
Nike,
IBM,
Starbucks, not quite so much. If I'm not boycotting at least three oil companies, I start to feel out of touch. I wouldn't be seen in Nordstrom's or any such. And I hate Walmart. I don't like whips. I don't like chains. I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really even like shopping except at the flea market. I hate Walmart. Now you may wonder, what's all this fuss? If you don't like the train, take the bus. Well, I found religion, and just between us, sell the low cost, drive mom and pop out of business. Pretty soon all over the land, one big square store, identical brand, and that's why I hate Walmart. Used to be you drive around, stop in three or four towns, encounter different sights and sounds, different if not unique, different accent, different smell, different things to buy and sell. Now it's all Taco Bell, I hate Walmart. Slow, relax your mind. Never knew what you'd find around the next bend. But now the freeway goes so straight, it go right past the pearly gate. I don't feel human, I feel like freight. I hate Walmart. I like to roam, I like to greet individuals on the street. You always know the one you meet is one of a kind. But more and more, they seem to me reflection of something on TV. When we're all alike, nobody's free. Sell me a digital potato peeler, and I don't like Garrison Keillor, 'cause he's so white. Turn on my radio dial, like to hear something new once in a while, but it's the same old crap in a brand new style. It's audio rape. Still I try to pick and choose. I turn the dial, but always lose. Sales. Go grow your own, make your own. Be careful what you own. Develop non-shopping to an art. And whatever you do, don't shop at Walmart.
that, of course, was David Lipman, I Hate Walmart, and we're happy to play him on the Brain Labor Report, and you've got Jason and the Real Joe, and I think we've got Ivan on the phone. Ivan, can you hear us?
I sure can, Jason.
Wonderful. We're being joined by Ivan Holen, who's with the Medford Citizens for Responsible Development. They've recently had a victory over the forces of Walmart in Medford, Oregon, so thank you for coming on the show. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the citizens for Medford Citizens for Responsible Development and some about this recent lawsuit.
Yeah, Jason, I think probably most listeners have looked at or can certainly quick run to Rogue IMC and see the news release that the Medford Citizens put out to the media and summarizing what took place. Basically, it was the after about a five-year struggle, the Land Use Board of Appeals came out with a definitive decision, we think, that tells Medford point blank, you need to conduct a traffic study, and because your city code requires it.
And now this is a traffic study that was they just didn't do or felt that they didn't have to do, and when this massive super center was being planned for development.
Yeah, the city of Medford has, their attorney has taken the position, actually it's their city manager who runs the whole show in Medford, have taken the position that a traffic study is only required and conducted at the time of zone change. And the zone change for this area took place about 20 years ago, or close to 20 years ago, at the time that when there was still baseball being played at Miles Field. Uh-huh. And so anyway, there was no new interchange and there was no development there at all. But basically, they did a zone change to change it from community and commercial or industrial to commercial, and the traffic study at that time, one of the first ones, basically was a kind of thing that I don't think you would hold up today. It certainly would not hold up today.
Well, certainly, and the area we're talking about here is a patch of land at the south end of Medford, Oregon, and that area of town has seen some real rapid growth with the build of this new south side exchange for the freeway. There's a couple of kind of strip malls in that area, and adding the super center would definitely cause a change in the traffic patterns there.
Yes, our group really feels that what is likely to occur with an additional projected increase, and this is not disputed, of close to 9,000 vehicle trips per day with the super center, uh-huh. 170 almost. It was a 5-acre, maybe a 4-acre building. The 9,000 additional vehicle trips per day will create a Southgate Center that looks an awful lot like the Northgate Center, where traffic is gridlocked almost constantly currently, and there's Costco and there's Walmart there now with. The proposal, it seems as though the city council wants to create another traffic nightmare on the south end of town.
Ivan, this is Joe, if I may interject.
Yes.
Congratulations, by the way, on the LUBA ruling, no question.
Yes, we're still a little bit concerned that our city council here is going to try to continue to delay this process of conducting a traffic study and by appealing it again to a circuit board of appeals.
That's what I was going to say. I just hate to sound like a wet blanket, but you're not done yet.
No, we certainly aren't. And part of the reason that we are where we are currently is because of support from the community. We've had contributions of primarily money, but also time and other contributions from people that we picked up just by going out and talking to neighbors, and also from the Labor Day picnic last year. at Tuvel Park, we had some good union members who supported our efforts, and we're hoping that if the city council does in fact appeal this ruling, that we'll be going out to the community again and trying to garner some more support.
Well, one thing, I was actually involved in a zoning land use case a couple of years ago up in Jacksonville, and traffic was an issue there. And what happened in that case was we had dueling experts. You know, we had an expert on the part of the, on the side of the developers who said there's no problem, and we had an expert on the side of the property owners who said, please God, don't do this to us. And it was interesting to me because ultimately it was left up to the Planning Commission and the Board of Commissioners to decide which expert to believe, essentially.
Yes, well, I think that's interesting, and there's always the potential for that, but currently this dispute is really based on the fact that there's the city council doesn't even want to look at the science or the actuality of it. A friend of mine is a retired traffic engineer from the city of Phoenix, and he wrote a letter to one of the city council members saying that it appeared to him that the whole dispute is about politics. And it really hasn't taken into consideration any of the objective information. And what we believe is that the objective information is going to show that unless something is done, which will abate the problem of that railroad crossing across Stewart and across Garfield there, that the potential for gridlock is almost absolutely certain.
Well, no question about that, and I believe you're also absolutely correct pointing out that it is as much, if not more, political than it is practical.
Yes, it is, and part of the reason it's political is because the LUBA decision will affect not only Walmart, but also any future development. Basically, right now, the city of Medford taxpayers are responsible for the street and the intersection improvements that take place before some commercial entity makes an application to do it. And so anyway, the taxpayers of Medford get to pay for the whole business, and whereas the city council codes, I mean the city codes, say that it's the responsibility of the developer. And it was LUBA that pointed this out and said, you cannot continue with this interpretation.
Thank you so much, Ivan. Really, that's...
You bet. Yeah, there's some interesting responses on the Mail Tribune articles. I'd encourage the listeners to go to the Mail Tribune articles on it online, and then look at some of the viewer responses. They range, of course, from people who are Walmart supporters to people who are dead set opposed. And but there's I am really tickled and with some of the things that are being written. And there's one here from a gentleman called, I don't know, these are all pseudonyms, I guess, Whitey. He says, more than $1 billion in public subsidies. The May 2004 report documented how Walmart received more than $1 billion from at least 244 taxpayer-funded subsidies, including free or reduced-price land, tax increment financing districts, which is MURA, the Medford Urban Renewal Agency, which is taxing all the citizens of Medford at least twice, is providing the incentive for big-box store locations. and reduced price land. These tax increment finance districts, infrastructure assistance, property tax breaks, state corporate income tax credits, sales tax rebates, tax-exempt bond financing, enterprise zone status, job training, recruiting funds, and general grants are things that Walmart is exploiting to the fullest. Hmm.
Well, honestly, I wouldn't expect them to do anything else, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's true. And they're an organization that, unfortunately, our city, well, our state planners are encouraging. And basically, we're seeing currently, because of the budget crisis, a closing down of schools, a reduction in school days in the Central Point District from 5 to 4, and while at the same time, Walmart is being encouraged by the state board or state laws to build huge super centers. I think, well, not just Walmart, but other commercial outfits, they really get a big advantage.
Oh, of course.
I know that one of the people that you're aware of is Chuck Shakitov, the executive director of the OCPP. And basically, he points out that Walmart managed to purchase a renewable energy tax credit and $11 million, and they simply bought it from Solar World for a bargain $7.3 million. And over the next 5 years, they're going to receive a benefit of 50% on that investment by building big box stores, including the one that they want to build at the South Gateway. So our state is, what it's doing is it's encouraging the building of super centers, while it's basically the Senate yesterday basically said no to the fair tax campaign. Wow. And so and that was really a disappointment, where the movement to increase corporate taxes has come to at least a temporary dead end.
Yeah, well, I think we've all been aware for at least the past several years that corporate free speech is able to shout down individual free speech fairly easily. And again, I want to congratulate you personally, Ivan, and everyone who's been working with you, because it is my personal belief that it's the small victories that build the foundation for the necessary changes in order for us to get along with each other, maybe for the first time. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, it's the small victories, Ivan, and thank you very much. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and I just want to comment that the work of the Medford Citizens for Responsible Development really deserve a hats off, because this is an organization that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of formed themselves out of this process. Now, of course, when they wanted to put in the Walmart Supercenter, they had a lot of public hearings, and I kind of got the feeling that that the public hearings were kind of because they had to do them and
pro forma.
Yeah, and discover that there really was quite a large public outcry against the whole project, and not just for the traffic reason, but for a lot of the other reasons we've just mentioned. And this really is a demonstration of when citizens find that they cannot get resolution through their normal channels, they kind of create their own channels. And so
I think that's right, Jason. I know that I've been to meetings before the Medford City Council, in which we had about close to 30 participants who were opposed to the Walmart. And then Walmart brought in people that they dressed them all up in fancy I Love Walmart T-shirts. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, they were kind of like a chorus for Walmart, and brought in and given gift certificates free things at Walmart and so on, in order to try to create an illusion of support. But anyway, we felt that with the planning, site plan and architectural commission in particular, we basically were shut out of the process, and the Land Use Board of Appeals has agreed with us that our city government has not been in the past listening to us at all.
Wow, wonderful. Wonderful work you're doing. And Mr. Ivan Holen, we're actually out of time, but we want to, again, thank you for the work you're doing and invite you to come back on again.
Well, I hope if I do, it's to report some more good news.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ivan.
Thank you, Ivan.
Thank you, Joe. And everybody, thanks for listening. It's been the Brain Labor Report. We'll be back in tomorrow. Bye-bye.